We continue our series this morning of on the Apostles' Creed. So let us gather together and hear the Gospel of our Lord according to Matthew, Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was an earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, 'You must say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went from Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Nearly two decades ago, Malcolm Gladwell published his book, The Tipping Point. And The Tipping Point seeks to understand that point in history which happens over and over again. When a social behavior reaches a threshold and all of a sudden it tips in acceptance or popularity. It tips from being just a curious little behavior to becoming a moment of force or an epidemic. In the book, he looks at fashion trends or the popularity of a person, or the rise and the fall of crime rates. And he tries to explain the primary factors that lead to the moment or the tipping points. Much has to do with the type of people that are involved and the type of connections that they might have with other people. But another factor which Gladwell calls the stickiness of an idea has something to do with it as well. That there are just some ideas or practices that simply stick because of their compelling nature. And once an idea sticks, it fast reaches the tipping point. And once it reaches the tipping point, there isn't much that you can do to stop it. Victor Hugo put it this way 100 years earlier: "No army can stop an idea whose time has come." Take, for instance, Facebook. Facebook was created well after Gladwell's book. 15 years ago, Facebook did not even exist. It was an idea that came from a Harvard undergrad: create a personal page on the computer with an ability for people to share information with other people, have conversations with them real time. And it was an idea, believe it or not, that was intended only for Harvard University students. But no army can stop an idea whose time has come. It quickly spread to other college campuses with the idea that it would remain only among college students. Well, that didn't happen, now did it? No parents or teenagers were supposed to have Facebook, but no army can stop an idea whose time has come. And before you knew it, Facebook had become a global phenomenon, and now it's one of the largest and most highly valued companies in the entire world, all from the confines of a college dorm. The idea stuck. And when an idea sticks, what soon happens is the tipping point. So speaking of tipping points, this is where we are in our creed this morning. We've been taking a journey through this historic creed of our faith, the Apostles' Creed, beginning with our belief in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. And we've looked around at the created order and imagined that there must have been a personal force behind all of this, that there was someone behind all of the wonder and the beauty that exists. And then we drew our focus and we focused on the person of Jesus Christ. And we declared that this first century rabbi was the incarnation of God, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and descended into hell. And by this, we are saying that God in love sees this wonderful world that God created, has fallen into chaos, and God in Jesus Christ enters the world, and by entering the world, endured the brokenness of the world and of each one of our lives, and took upon himself the sins of the world, atoned for our sin on the cross, accomplished redemption, and finished the necessary work of sacrificial love. And then comes the word today, that instead of this just being one of those tragic stories where the good guy dies a tragic death in order to save the town, instead what we are told today is that on the third day that Jesus rose from the dead, he came alive again. He ascended into heaven and sits now at the right hand of God, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. The one who suffered and died in love, who now is raised from the dead and has gone to be with God in heaven, the one whose hands and feet were nailed to the cross, is the one whose kingdom has now begun. This is the new kingdom, the kingdom of the crucified and risen Savior. Something has happened, a new reality. A new idea has been introduced, that this sacrificial life and love of Jesus has been shown to be the new order. Human and cosmic history has all of a sudden tipped. We have reached that tipping point. And what that tipping point says is that the way of the cross, the sacrificial love of the crucified one, the shame and the embarrassment of the death, the sharp pains of the nails, all of these things have been transformed into instruments of new creation, taking the old things that we once used for ourselves for selfish gain and for power and for harm, and we have turned them into instruments of love and grace. If you look at the cross, this cruel and horrific torture of slow and painful death that an empire long ago used, and if you somehow make that into a symbol of life and love, that we wear around our necks as jewelry, then most certainly we have reached a tipping point. When the crucified Savior rises and sits at the right hand of God, that means that everything in the world now can be turned into a redemptive purpose. The talent that we possess, the money we make, the time we spend, all of it can be turned into a redemptive purpose. It's what the prophet spoke of when he said that the nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That there would come a day when the tipping point would come that it would make more sense for people to take those old tools of power and of gain and of hurt and of harm and beat them into instruments that would bring life and blessing and joy. That there would be this new idea that people would lay hold of. Because finally they are at the point that the crucified one, who now sits at the right hand of God, is a new sheriff in town. There's a new administration. There is a new kingdom, the kingdom of the crucified one and the risen Lord. You know, you see it taking hold of the lives of those first disciples, don't you? They've somehow been taking hold of the one who was crucified and risen. And they become new people. No longer are they doubting, no longer are they denying or betraying or fleeing, but now they are speaking new languages. Now they are showing courage. Now they are inviting people into the new life of sacrificial love. Isn't that what Jesus commissions the disciples with in our passage even today? He states that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The tipping point has happened. The forces of evil have no power. There is now a new commandment. Love one another. Go, make disciples, baptize, share this amazing story of love. How about the Apostle Paul? Back when they called him Saul of Tarsus, who made his mission to oppress the rumor of the resurrection. He considered the resurrection to be a silly idea. But then came the day when the resurrected one appeared to him on the side of the road. And now all of a sudden, the one who persecuted the apostles has turned into an apostle himself. The tipping point happened. The one who once tore down lives is now the one who is beginning to build up lives. The swords have been beaten into plowshares, the spears into pruning hooks. It's the same man who wrote that for those who have been called, who have been grabbed hold of by a new idea, for those who have been laid hold of by the Spirit, that for those who have been called according to those purposes, why all things can be turned into good. The new reality is that once you've been captured by the new idea, why, there's nothing in this world that cannot be redeemed. Two amazing musicians died a few years ago. The first one was Alice Sommer. You might recall that name. She was the longest living survivor of the Holocaust. She died at the age of 110. And Alice said that the primary reason that she lived to 110 was because of music. She had been a great student of music before the Holocaust, and particularly a student of Chopin. She embedded the beautiful music of Chopin into her mind and soul, and it laid hold of her. It stuck. And she said it is what saved her in the concentration camp. She could play the beautiful music from deep within her, which is what she did. She played piano for her captors. And when she was liberated and learned that most of her family had been murdered, all of the hurt and the pain and everything that wanted to follow her for the rest of her life was sent away from her by her music. She had been laid hold of. It had been for her the tipping point. It's what made me alive, she said, and it's what kept me alive all the way to 110. You see, these are the things that go deep into our souls. These are the things that change us forever and forever change our view of the world. That instead of the world being a place where we harbor all of our stuff, our anger, our resentment, sometimes something sticks to your soul. It makes you see that everything in the world can be redeemed. On the third day, we say, the crucified one came alive again and ascended into heaven and now sits at the right hand of God. It is the new order of things. God is the new composer. The kingdom is here, the tipping point of history, allowing us to take the stuff of this world, even the forces of evil and selfishness and hurt, and make them into instruments of life and blessing and joy. Look through the New Testament. You'll find it in person after person after person. Jesus inviting them to take the stuff of their life and to redeem it. For the rich man, it was his money. Could his money be redeemed? For the tax collector, it was his work. Could the tax collector be redeemed? For Peter, it was his relationship. Should I forgive 7 times? No, Jesus says. Forgive 70 times 7. For Barnabas, it was his parcel of his land. Could his land be redeemed? For the centurion, it was his weapons that needed to be redeemed. For us, that would be our hope. That somehow we might be claimed again by a new idea, a new creation, by new music. That the power and love of the crucified one would take hold of us again and make each one of us into new creations. What would this new order look like in your life? What might be built up in your life? What compassion needs to be built? What commitment needs to be built? What in your world needs to be redeemed to make it new? What is God calling you to build up? What's your tipping point? Has it arrived? No more hammers and nails of the old order. This is the new creation, the new kingdom. No more tearing down. It's a time to build up. The great Pete Seeger wrote the great folk song, If I Had a Hammer, wherein he wondered what we might do with a hammer. And Pete Seeger answered it this way: If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening all over this land. I'd hammer out danger. I'd hammer out a warning. I'd hammer out love to my brothers and my sisters all over this land. What would you hammer out? What in your life needs redeeming? What is your tipping point? Amen.